how out of focus I tend to be, how much I don't finish what I started. And we're going to see what the Bible says about pressing on toward the goal. Because we're called to be more than conquerors, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So the Bible talks about we have somewhere to go, we have a goal. And it wants us to press on so we don't stop right there. There's something ahead. There's something ahead for you. There's something ahead for you this year. There's something ahead for you in this life. There's something ahead for you in life to come. And I want to encourage you guys with that and bring that. And I want to start with a scripture from Philippians 3, verse 12. It's just three verses. And this is Paul. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is, you know, writing this, and beyond like being more effective in your life, there's a call that God has for you. Beyond the everyday life, beyond all of that, he's called you, those who he has made spiritually alive. If you've received him, he's made you spiritually alive. He has something for you, something, a call, an upward call, and it's all in him. And so we're going to talk about, well, how do we press on? And what is it that we're pressing on for, right? What is Paul talking about here, and how do I do it? Because some of us know, or maybe there's a season, like certain thing right now that we know, but it's like, how do I keep going? It seems I lose focus so easy. And some of us don't even know. And some of us are completely dead spiritually. Maybe, you know, someone that's listening to me or someone that may be even here. And so what is Paul talking about, and where are we going? And we press on by reaching for the finish, right? For the upward call of what Jesus has for me. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to explain a little bit what he's saying here, where he's saying, I press toward, and who is he talking to? He's talking to the church in Greece. And he's writing them. This is the Philippian church. And he's writing them, and he's not saying, guys, I want you to be more successful. I want you to be better go-getters. You know, press on. There's things you guys are doing, involved in. I want you guys to go for it. It's not in that sense. He's talking about spiritually. He's talking about spiritually, but with an application to their life on earth. He's calling them to something more where they are. And just not to be just better at adulting. He's saying, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. There is something that Jesus has laid hold of you for, and that is only found in him. And that's what we're pressing on. There's something that when God has laid a hold of you, he has laid a hold of he has something for you for which he has laid a hold of you for. That's a lot of things going on, but he has a purpose. He has something for you since he's redeemed you, since he's restored you. And we're going to find that out today. It's not so you can be better adulting, but there's an upward call and even a responsibility for what he's called us to. He wants us to for something greater. And so I want to remind us, and I want to talk about something for a second, that there's no old man in Christ. Like, the Bible is going to seriously offend you if you want to do a one foot in hell and one foot in heaven type of thing. Like, there's a lot of people who are Christians, or, you know, say they are Christians, that want to be as close to hell as they can get and still go to heaven. And the Bible is always going to offend you if you live that way, because you're never going to be happy. You see, that upward call, that greater that God has for you, that's in him. And that's the only, like, true freedom. That's the only way you'll be happy. And the other way is just going to offend you, because you're not, it's either you choose what God has for you, or you choose what you have for you. And it's one or the other, and you might be happy for the moment for what you have for you, but we know that you won't be happy forever. And we know there's a greater, something greater. You guys know it in your heart. I don't have to tell you that. That's why you guys are here. That's why you guys listen, you know. But I want to call you for more. I want to call you to actually apply that, to start walking in that. And you can today. So that's why the Bible says that, you know, God sent his only begotten Son. He loved you, and so he came and lived a blameless life and took the wrath of God for our sins so that we can live in him. He makes us spiritually alive and for him. So it doesn't just, it's not just insurance to get to heaven in case something goes wrong. It's there's more to what he has for us. I heard a really good example actually just today. I already had put us all together, but it fit so good right here. I was like going to share it. There's a pastor that he was going to America. Maybe you guys heard this from a podcast. And he was back in a time when they had no airplanes, so he had to take a ship. And he spent all that he had so that he could get over to America. And he took cheese and crackers with him because he had no money to visit the restaurants on the ship. And he got on the ship, and the first day he's eating his cheese and crackers, he keeps eating. Everyone else is laughing, enjoying the restaurants, going to whatever buffets they want. And he gets to the 20th day, some guy walks up to him, and he's like, man, you, like, basically the story goes, you okay? Like, what's going on over there? Why do you always just carry that little sack around and eat cheese, you know? And the guy goes, well, I gave all I had to be on the ship, and I can't afford to eat over there, so I'm just having a good time. I'm eating here. You guys enjoy your fancy food. He goes, are you serious? He's like, when you paid for that ticket, it was all inclusive. Everything that was on that ship was for you. And how many times in our life, when we're walking in Christ, we just accept him, and then we do our own life, and just eating our cheese and crackers when he has so much more for us, right? And that's what Paul is referring to here, that he has so much more for you, that he wants you to be happy and free in him. But that's something we have to press on to, and there's a war going on. And like sometimes it's easy to forget that. So we're going to keep going and read this. I want to give you guys some Bible verses that kind of support this and show. We're just going to rush over them quickly, so keep along, please. You should be doing good. All right. So Romans 6, 6 through 10. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And that's us too. When we're, you know, the Bible refers to baptism, and it's a symbolism. We were buried with Christ, and we were raised to a new life. And here's another one. A little further, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, or like, I'm urging you guys, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And then one last one, Ephesians 2:8-10. Got it right here. For by grace you have been saved. I think we know this very well, but I want you guys to follow along. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. All right, let's pause right there because I don't want you guys to get mixed up. You have been saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast, but for good works. So it's kind of like an example like this. I want to show you. It's like a friend has the key, right, to your car, and you got to get somewhere. And with that friend is how you get there. So faith is you know, faith in Jesus is the only way that's going to get you in this life, and in life not only here, like spiritual life, but eternal life. It's faith. But with faith comes a lot of gifts or friends But you can have all those and not have faith and not make it there. So at any given point, faith is always the only thing that gets you there. But the calling, the sanctification, all the stuff that Christ has for us, that's all an add on in terms of like gifts and stuff he does to that we can live victoriously. And that's kind of what it's sharing here. It's not by works. You can try to improve, but it's a waste of time. You're going to try really hard. You're going to find out you can't, and so you're going to give up. But when you receive Christ, now he enables you. Now he gives you his Holy Spirit. Now you are able to. And at this goal, this upward calling that God has for us, that's true freedom. True freedom always has a choice. I want you guys to think about the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, it was Adam and Eve. And God gave them all. Everything you could imagine. It was beautiful. There was not, you weren't probably even sweating, you know? It was like awesome. It was like in the cool of day, God walked with them, fellowship with them. I mean, if I think of freedom, it's like there, you know, away from all the business of life, away from all of this stuff. And what did freedom look like to them? They were deceived, and they thought that freedom looked like the fruit. See, God put a boundary in there because freedom always has a choice. So without a boundary that he would have put there, there would have been actually no freedom because they wouldn't have been able to make a choice. And God gives that same thing to us. He wants us to make a choice. Because that's true freedom. He doesn't confine us. He doesn't tell us and put us in this box and like, guys, here, you do this. He wants us to freely love him, to freely choose him, to freely have the choice. And so we always, you know, we could be easily deceived. And maybe there's something in your life that you're looking at that looks like freedom. Like you think God told me not to do this. I think it's because he doesn't want me to be free. But it's because he doesn't want you to be in bondage. Because freedom looks like the ability to obey and trust God, but bondage looks like the ability to do what you want to do and take what he's put a boundary on. Because you can still do it, but he asks you and he tells you not to do it because he wants you to be free. So I want to ask you guys, I want to encourage you because there's some things in your life that sometimes you look at or look back to maybe in your old life, and it's very tempting. And it's like the children of Israel. They're like, bring us back to Egypt because we missed the meat. It's like, wait, you were building all day. You were probably like scars on your back, getting whipped and everything like that. And you so quickly forgot the bondage. It looks like such appetizing fruit. And so in your life, I want you guys to be careful to continue to press on what God has for you so that you're not taking that fruit, but you're taking that freedom that's only found in Christ. And so let's move on here. God is never going to remove the choice between what he has for you and what you have for you. That's always the freedom that's there. And he gives you, and he gives you the choice to choose. I'm not saying this because I'm against like what you guys are into, what you guys like to do, education, career, all this stuff. I'm saying what defines you? Is it what God says, or is it what you say and what the world says? Because freedom is choosing what God has for you and walking in that. So what's this goal? What's this goal that Paul talks about? What's this goal of the upward call? The general call, the general goal, something that we find in the Bible, we were created for him. So the goal is to know him, to glorify him. And that's always like the center, like you just remind yourself. He's redeemed me so I can know him and glorify him. And that's how you're going to be pressing on. That's how you're going to be successful. That's how you're going to walk through life victoriously. That's how you're going to see the sick healed, the dead raised, like even spiritually and physically. You're going to see the goodness of God in your life. If you remember that you're to know him, to glorify him. But there's also specific callings in our life. And there's specific seasons and positions. And this is where we think of like preacher. This is where we think of, you know, serving at youth in some area. This is something like that. And sometimes we put such a pressure on before we do anything to find out what is the specific position I'm supposed to be in for the rest of my life. And we forget that if we stayed focused on what's the call of God on my life, to know him and to glorify him, then as we walk through life, he will show us what it is that we're to do And as we read, as we get to know him, the Holy Spirit, he begins to speak to us and lead us, right? And so I think a lot of people, this is where they feel lost, and this is where they get offended. Because when they ask, what's my calling? And the Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And people get offended. It's like, just tell me what my calling is. What's my calling? What's my calling? Like, I need to know, you know, so I can get started. You know, so, and I people say, well, tell me my calling. And I'm like, no. Because your calling is rooted in Jesus, only you can find it out by getting to know him. And so, yes, there's a general call. I can confirm, I can prophesy into your life. People that God put in your life, they're there for that. They're like, hey, this is what God has for you. Hey, I heard this from God. What do you think? Can you pray with me? Yeah, I think that's from God. Let's talk, you know, your leaders, all of them around you, your good friends. That's why the Bible says to surround us with friends and stuff like that are of good character, that are focused on the Lord, so that we can find out what it is that God has for us. So I can do all that, but I can't tell you your life, and I can't tell you what God has for you, because that's rooted in him. And that's the beautiful thing, and it's also the hard thing, in that we have to stop ourselves, we have to quiet ourselves, and find out what it is what God has for us. And that looks like laying down our life almost 100% of the time. And that's why so many young people are lost, because they want to fly around through life, running around, but they want someone to tell them the call so they could get to work, so that they can like just manage everything. Where you're going to have to either find out what God has for you or find out what you have for you. And so I want to encourage you guys to take some time, to begin taking time. And it's not an advertisement, but we have prayers here all the time in the mornings. We do prayer walks in our city so that other people can get to know God. And personal, never let preachers and sermons and podcasts be your God. Go up the mountain yourself to hear from God. Don't wait for Moses to give you your God. All right? Let's keep going here. And we'll just talk about that main point there. Because our call or the goal of our upward calling is rooted in Christ Jesus, as Paul says, we will press on correctly. So you'll go through life correctly, you'll be successful. I'm talking about like in the Lord, if as you get to know him, as you press on and you make time to hear from him and get to know his Holy Spirit. Like, it's so important to read his word, especially when you're like always not even when you're young in the faith or mid faith or old faith, whatever you want to call it. Always read his word. But the emphasis is not that, oh, I got this book. The emphasis is that not only do I have his word, but I know the author. And the author is the Holy Spirit, and he leads me even when I don't have my Bible on me. And so I'm spending time, this is reading me, and this is guiding me, so that I'm not succumbing to like feelings or some kind of like ideas that someone else is throwing at me. But I also have the Holy Spirit. He's the one who reveals it to me. He's the one who speaks to me. And so as you trust and obey, he's going to lead you. All right, so how do we press on? We figured out that our call is in Jesus, and what he has for us, we'll only find out by walking with him, by getting to know him. All right, so we're going to start spending time with him. All right, three brief applications. These are the closing three. I don't really have points. I have applications for today. So, desire to do. Our scripture is 2 Corinthians 8, 10 to 14. 2 Corinthians 8, 10 to 14 should be up there. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so that there may also be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. I'll explain that in a second. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now, at this time, your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. And my first point, I want to talk about the application. My first application is that desire to do, right? Paul says right here, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. So, desiring to do. How many of you have a longing or a desire or a dream or something? I know Paul writes here a year ago. He's writing to the church, right? They had a desire to give to another church because they were having a hard time. And I want to apply that to our lives today. Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe even when you first received Christ, or maybe you were in that season of like you received Christ and like you had so many desires to follow, to read, to spend time with him, to maybe to serve in some place. Maybe you wanted to volunteer. You had these desires and dreams. What were you desiring to do? Because when we find Christ and we're pressing on the goals, and we know him, he gives us desires, something that we want, something that makes us happy, something that fulfills our lives in him. And so what were you desiring to do? Like, he says, first there was a willing mind. It's according to what you have. I told you guys I would explain that. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. I think a lot of us get like stopped sometimes because we're like, I don't have a lot to give. And he says right here, the key issue is not how much you're giving. The key issue is that you had the desire to give. And so that's what I want to encourage you guys. The key issue was not that you didn't have, it wouldn't be big enough to make an impact, or it wouldn't be, you know, it just kind of drifted away. The key issue is that you had that desire. It was from God. It was rooted in God. And I want to encourage you guys to come to that. Maybe you're in that, but come back to it if you haven't. Come back to get like putting him at the center, to be just focused on him, to be rooted on him. Come back to that. Begin to do that once again, that first love that he talks about, that the desire to do for him. That's rooted in knowing him. You're always, as you get to know him, you always want to do what pleases his heart, what it is. And if you're out of focus, that's when we start struggling with that. That's when our flesh kicks in and it starts taking over and trying to war against our spirit. So I want to encourage you guys with that. And this is also a word for our youth. You know, it's so awesome. I never even saw this before. He says, what you were desiring to do a year ago. Think about like stuff that we've been desiring to do as a youth here. You know, the ministries, the outreaches, the ideas, the plans, the worship team getting excited. You know, we like setting our minds and in our hearts to read the word so that we can speak God's word, so that we can prepare, you know, begin to reach to you guys. Like, you guys had ideas for ministries. You guys, we had all the stuff. Let's do it. You know, let's finish what we completed, what we desired to do. Let's finish what we started. Let's take that desire again, look at it, see what's from God, and let's go after it. And that's what it leads to our second application, finishing to do. He says that you must complete the doing of it, finish to do. And I don't want us to stop at desiring. Us young people, it's so common to us. I want to do something, but eventually life goes on. I get caught up in the business of life. Let's set it before our minds. Let's press on toward a goal. Let's start writing on our calendars like what it is that we want to go for. Let's you know that once you stop reading maybe the scripture, you know, you're getting out of focus. Maybe you had a pattern to like read a book every so often, a Christian book, or maybe like every Wednesday at work, or maybe not work. Maybe every Wednesday, you know, I listen to a podcast, or I spend an hour, I go to prayer. It just helps me so much get focused. That helps me stay focused, helping me to work on and finish what I started. Let's do that. Let's line ourselves up with what's helping us. And give it your all. To finish something, you know, you're working on it and you're giving it your all. And I think many of us will find that when we give it our all, those things that we desire to do, those things that God placed in our hearts to desire, that spiritual bankruptcy feeling is going to begin to lift. We're going to begin to start feeling free, happy, fulfilled. Like, yeah, this was what I was supposed to do. This is what God had for me. And then, you know, I think a lot of us carry that spiritual bankruptcy around because we stop doing what at first we had the desire we knew to do, to know him, to grow in him. So let's go back to them. We'll find ourselves coming out of that spiritual bankruptcy. We'll be happy people. We'll be people feeling fulfilled. We'll be people impacting the city. We'll be people like, it'll just be amazing. That's what we're going to finish to do. And so let's start focusing. Let's spend time with him. Let's get to know what he has. And this is the key that Paul has for finishing. It's in verses 13 and 14. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. And if you want to pull that up, I'm going to wait a second for him. It's 2 Corinthians 8, 13 and 14. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. This is how you're going to finish when you do it together. The key to pressing on is not so that one person has it hard and the rest have it easy. It's not so one person has is doing everything in church and the other guys are like, man, that's a great place to be. I like everything that's going on. Or maybe in your own life, like there's that one friend that's doing everything for you guys, like riling you up, to do your morning devotion and stuff like that. It's not so one person has to do all the work and everyone takes it easy. Pressing on is together. I want to bring you an example of me and Ben. When we started, it was so awesome because not a lot of youth groups have two leaders, And so when we started, it was so awesome how God foresaw it. And he knew that we needed each other. And look at now, Ben is so busy. And if I just think of, I'm this week, Ben's this week, I'm this week, and I just, I'm done after this Saturday, I raise my hands, I'm like, see you, Ben, handle this, Good luck. No. This is where I step up because now my abundance and what God's done in my life now, it's amazing. Gave me a new job, so much more time. It's awesome, And think about the timing. Just as Ben got busy, God freed me up. And every time in your community, your friends, that you get overwhelmed, that you start getting feeling down, that you start, there's always that friend, right? That is just getting up. It's just getting riled up. And sometimes it's like you just want to, it's like you're kind of upset that they're so up there and you're down, but that's so that their abundance can supply your lack. They come up to you and they're like, hey, listen, what do you need? Hey, let's meet up. Hey, they encourage you. They walk through. Because otherwise that one person would lack, would be so overwhelmed that he would just go under. And I want to bring the example of salt. When you're making something, I don't know how good this is. I'm not too good of a cook, but, you put some salt in one place, and, that one spot is going to be way too potent. And it's, it stands out so much, and it just the rest of the dish is, first of all, the whole dish is kind of, not that great. But when you put, say, a salt in some, I don't know what you'd make with salt, but you, stir it up, and it begins to spread and stir up, that's the same with us as people. Our abundance, in that one spot kept to itself, that's not what it's meant for. It's meant for the entire dish, and that so that when it stirs up and when we stir up each other, when our abundance supplies their lack, and when you're down, their abundance supplies your lack, that's so that the whole dish comes out, and it's, appealing, it's pleasing to the taste, right? And that's what people see in the community, in the church, in the youth, and the young people. That's what's going to draw them. Not that one person has all the salt, and not only do they not want that one person because he's so salty, but... the rest of the thing is blah. And so that's what it's for. Our abundance supplies each other's lack, and our lack supplies each other's, gets supplied by each other's abundance. So the whole dish, when people see us, wow, that's the unity, wow, that's the taste, wow, that's what I want to be a part of. That's how I'm actually going to finish, because otherwise it's overwhelming. I tried so many times on my own, I couldn't make it. So that's what I want to encourage you guys with. And my last application is never limited to do. And this one's pretty brief, but man, it was so powerful when I read it. I love this one. Let's go back to Philippians 3:12. Oh, this thing right here. There we go. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Excuse me. All right. Do you know where Paul was writing this from? Prison. A prison cell. He's writing this on. I press on to that which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. Where are you going, Paul? You know? What are you going to do? You're in a prison cell. And think about the people he's writing to. He's been so successful in all his years. This is a successful church that he's writing to. He planted so many churches. Like he's called the greatest missionary ever and the greatest apostle. He's in a prison cell and he's saying, I press on. And that's where, you know, I was seeing this and God spoke to me and he says, I want to read this, that sometimes pressing on, you'll find yourself in the prison cell. So sometimes you'll find yourself physically limited, or you're limited in a way that, think about Paul, so successful, all this, and all of a sudden he's in a prison cell. Man, those good times, you know? I remember those seasons where God moved so mightily in my life. I remember, you know, some of you guys went to Bible school or something like that. Man, I remember that. I miss that. I want that back, you know? I want to go out there and, like, with my friends, with my group, and now I'm here. And what do you have for me? And Paul says, I press on? Like, that doesn't... I want what I had before. And he says, he writes right here a couple verses back, he's like, forgetting what's behind. And that's really the one thing that we need to know as we press on, is that which was before is before. But God has something for you even in your prison cell. Even where you may be, even what limited your small church may be, or your small group, or maybe you have not a lot of Christian friends, or maybe you have to spend time by yourself because all your friends are doing something that you don't want to do anymore. And you find yourself in a prison cell, but you could press on even in that, because Christ Jesus has for you what he has for you, what he's laid a hold of you for. Does that make sense? That was like so powerful to me. I love that. So wherever you find yourself, maybe confined or all past the great seasons, I want to encourage you guys that now, what is God doing now? What does he want for me now? What's in it for me now? How can my abundance supply someone's lack? Maybe I'm down. God, send people around me to supply my lack. And that's how we'll press on. So I believe, and I want to leave you with these two verses. And before I read that, I want to read something to you that I wrote and I shared with someone before. The goal is not to be more ministry. A lot of times, even in Paul's case, we would think that he'd be even more in ministry, you know, slowly, gradual. The goal is not to be in more ministry. The goal is to be more in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. So the goal, Peter writes, and we're going to read this right now, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge. That's the goal, to know him. That's how you'll find what he has for you now, to grow, you know, wherever you are. So let's read these two, and we'll close with this. 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. He's talking about, you know, you're doing well. You're staying focused. So know this, and you know this. Being led away with the error of the wicked, 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Press on. Grow. Grow into what he has for you. No matter what you look like right now, you could start where you are in your prison cell. Whatever addiction it is, whatever lust it is, whatever thing it is, he has something for you. And that requires, that's that choice. I'm going to take, Jesus, what you have for me. I'm going to get to know you. I'm going to find time. I'm not going to look for time. I'm going to make time. You guys are going to become creators, because you're going to start making time for God, making time. And man, you guys are going to be people who are really walking in the Spirit, and God's going to do such things in your life. People are going to ask you, like, how'd you do it? Because every single person in the Bible that did great things, there were all kinds of people, tall, short, old, young, who knows what. You know, some of them were prostitutes, some of them were, they did, like Abraham, he slept with his servant to try to make the promise that God had for him, like all this stuff. Why are they called such great men of faith? You can be as great and greater, and that's not to like compare, but to encourage you. The difference is in what all those people did, that longing, that desire that they had, they acted on it. And you're going to make it really far if you act on that desire that God gives you. Because that's the turning point. Either you act on it or you let it go. So I want to encourage you guys with that. And I want to three questions that I feel like God told me to ask you guys. God is asking us, are you ready to find me? Are you ready to find out what I have for you? And will you trust me and press on? And so I want you guys just to close your eyes. Please don't stand. Just so that we can keep that atmosphere of focus. Are you ready to find me? Are you ready to find out what I have for you? And will you trust me and press on? And so I just want you guys to close my eyes. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to answer that. Because that will really tell me where I'm at. And it's not so that you feel bad. He knows what you're into. He knows that maybe you don't want to. But if you want to, or even there's a hint, but you can't seem to break free, just ask him for help. Be like, God, yes, I want to find you. Yes, I want to find out what you have for me. I'm ready. So help me. And if you've never received him, then receive him. If you don't know what that looks like, then come up to us. Talk with us. So, Father, I pray. There's something that you want to do this year, God. There's something that we started within the year. And there's something that you have ahead for us, God. All kinds of callings, goals, and the upward call of the goal, God, the calling in Christ Jesus, the main one, to know you, to glorify you. And I pray, God, that you would help us. Because so many times I don't want to. I want to have my own schedule. I want to do my own thing. I want to go have fun my way. And it's so hard for me to lay some of that stuff down and to take that time, trust you, that my time spent with you in devotions and in time with you was going to be well worth the time that I use. And I pray for that, God, that you would release over every single person here tonight into their destiny, God, that calling, that draw. Maybe some of them stop feeling it for a while. And I pray that once again, God, they would be reminded that you're still there, you're always pursuing, and you're ready to forgive, you're ready to lead, and you're always been there. And for those who've been pressing on, but it seems like it got pretty challenging, or it seems like I can't really see ahead. I don't know what's going on, I'm in the prison cell. We're reminded that you have something for us, and sometimes even looks like a prison cell. But you are never limited. You are never limited by a physical thing. You are never limited by any spiritual thing. And so we can be in a prison cell physically, but we can be impacting the world all around us. And even spiritually, we can find you. And we thank you for that. I bless your name, Lord. I thank you. And I pray that you would lead us and that lives would be changed today. Amen. Thank you, guys. So come down the stairs, man. The AC is waiting for us.
1 quick announcement, guys. If anybody's interested in getting baptized, we're doing it next Sunday through our church. And if that's something you want to do, just come to any one of the leaders. Just talk with us. And the Bible actually says, repent and be baptized. So I don't want you guys to limit yourselves to an age or a number. God just says that if you believe in me, you know, show this public action, and that's to be baptized. So if you've received Jesus Christ, you're called to be baptized as well. So if any of you are interested, just come up to us, let us know, and we'll connect you with the pastor and what other things we have to do in regard to that. Thank you.